We're holding your Aleph Amud Beis about a little above the middle of the Amud, Ulchun Veshoisin Veshech HaShecha. The Mishnah had said that when it comes to the first three fasts that they make, that they declare for rain, you're allowed to eat and drink even after it gets dark until the following morning. So now the Gemara is going to be dealing with, today's Gemara is going to be dealing with, until the next Mishnah, about the dinim of private fasts. A person accepts the fast on themselves, what are the dinim about it? So Amar of Zeir Amar of Huna, Yachat Shekibul Olav Tainis, if an individual accepted a fast on himself, Afila Ochav Shasa Kol Alayla, even if he ate and drank all night, L'mocha Hu Mispalo Tfilah Tainis. The next day, he will be able to say the special tefillah for Tainis, which is to say Aneinu in Shemoneh Esrei. However, Lon B'Tanisa, but what if on that same fast, he slept still in his Tainis, he didn't break his fast that night, and then he woke up in the morning, Aneinu Mispalo Shal Tainis, and he cannot daven, he cannot say Aneinu the next day. What's the difference? Well, the Gemara will talk soon about the difference, but in other words, again, the first case is that we're saying he accepted the fast on himself the day before, he ate during the night, then starting from the morning he started fasting, so then he says Aneinu. Now we're saying if he continues the fast onto another day, then he does not say Aneinu.
He accepted the day before the fast to
stop. He's going to fast on a Tuesday, let's say, so Monday night, Monday evening, as we're going to talk about later, during Mincha time, he accepted the fast on himself.
To start the next morning.
So that the next morning, then he can say Aneinu. But if Tuesday night he didn't break his fast and Wednesday morning he's still fasting, we're saying he cannot say Aneinu. So Amar Rav Yosef, my kasuv Rav Huna, what does Rav Huna hold? Why is he saying this din? Is it svirla ein mishanin l'shois? Is it that Rav Huna holds that you cannot have a fast which is only for a certain period of hours, and therefore, in other words, so he didn't break his fast at night and he's still fasting the next morning, that would be called a tainus shoyt, that would be called a fast lasting only for a certain number of hours, as we'll talk about the different possibilities. And therefore that's why he says you can't say Aneinu, because it would be only a tainus shoyt. Odum sa'anim l'shoyt, or maybe there is such a thing as a tainus shoyt. And just by mitzvah, the shoyes, any mitzvah to the tainus. Maybe a tainus shoyes. Maybe the concept of tainus shoyes itself exists. That you're fasting for a certain number of hours, not for an entire day. But if you do that, then you're not saying aneinu. Now, what's the definition of a tainus shoyes? Rashi says over here that the tainus shoyes is defined as where you didn't accept the fast the day before. So again, if he's planning to fast on a Monday, for example, let's say Monday, because usually people fast on Mondays and Thursdays, let's say. So if a person is planning to fast on a Monday, let's say Sunday afternoon, he accepts on himself, and then he fasts Monday, fine. But when it comes to, when he continues fasting into Tuesday morning, he didn't accept that fast on himself yesterday, because he didn't say on Monday, I plan to fast tomorrow as well. Therefore, Rashi says that's the definition of a tainus shoyes. And that's what we're asking. Is it that Rav Huna is saying that there's no such thing as a tainus shoyes? And that's why we're saying he doesn't say Aneinu, because the concept of a fast that morning doesn't even exist. Or is it that it can be considered a tainus shoyes? It can be considered a tainus shoyes, but a tainus shoyes is not significant enough, does not have enough importance to say Aneinu for it. There are other Rishonim who learn differently. In particular, I think the Rosh holds that not necessarily does a tainus have to be accepted the day before. It just has to be accepted before the fast actually begins. That's a different thing. That's a different argument of does it have to be accepted close to the fast or can it be sometime before it. But that's talking about something else. Let's say, for example, suppose this person is fasting the morning, a Tuesday morning, let's say. Is it that he'd have to have accepted the fast on himself on Monday by Mincha, as the Gemara is going to say later, or is it good enough as long as he accepts it on himself sometime, let's say, during that night, before the fast is actually slated to begin, then that would already be good enough. And then there's a further discussion whether tainus shoyes, the Gemara is going to talk about soon, that a tainus shoyes may mean that we'll talk about soon whether it may mean also that you're taka only fasting part of the day, or does it mean you already didn't eat part of the day, and now you're fasting, and now you're saying, you know what, I'll just fast the rest of the day. We'll get to that soon as well. Anyway, Amalei Abaya, Abaya answers Rav Yosef. Lo'olam k'savar Rav Huna m'sanim l'shoyes. We can say that Rav Huna does agree that there is a concept of tainus shoyes. That if you fast a partial day fast, again according to Rashi, meaning that you didn't accept it the day before, then you know such a thing exists. There is such a thing as a valid tainus. But b'shaini hachad, and maybe even Rav Huna holds v'masana l'shoyes misbalot for the tainus, that if you're fasting even for a certain number of hours without having accepted it ahead of time, that you would say anenu. The difference would be over here that you have the night which he hadn't accepted on himself to begin with. In other words, the problem is over here because he didn't accept the night fast on himself. It's not the fact that he didn't break his fast the night before, that now he's still continuing a fast from the day before. That's like it's an extension of the previous fast, and it's not considered normally. If it was a tainus shoyes, even without the acceptance ahead of time, it would be important enough to say anenu. But here, where it's just an extension of the previous one, it doesn't have the significance of its own to say anenu. Now, by the way, it comes out from this Gemara that you could say that theoretically you can say anenu in any tefillah, ma'ariv, shacharis, or mincha, depending when the fast is. Tosfos points out, actually, Tosfos points out from Halachas Gdolos that actually, so we don't, on a tainus tzibur, we only say anenu by mincha, and the Chazan says it by shacharis as well. Why is that? Halachas Gdolos says because. But when it comes to Ma'ariv and when it comes to Shacharis, what if you don't end up finishing the fast? What if you don't have fasting? What if you don't end up fasting the whole day through? When you're saying in Anenu, you're saying Anenu Hashem Anenu B'yom Tzayim Ta'anisenu on the day when we're fasting. If you end up breaking the fast, if you end up having to break the fast, it comes out retroactively. You lied. It's not the day of our fast. So only when it comes to Mincha, you dive in on a fast day late in the day, then already you're pretty well guaranteed to finish the fast, and therefore.
When he says anenu is fasting, he's not a liar.
Fine. So there are other. So indeed, not everybody agrees with Halachas Gdolos on that. And in fact, the Sfardish and Musaf is indeed to say that everybody says anenu by shacharis as well. But this is why we only say anenu in mincha is because of this consideration. On the other hand, the Chazan says it in shacharis. First of all, this way it reminds everybody that it is a fast day, and second of all. Inevitably in the Sibur, there are some people who are fasting. So when the Chazan is repeating Shemoneh Esrei on behalf of the Sibur, sure, he can say B'yom Tzayim Ta'anisenu, even if it turns out he himself doesn't manage to complete the fast, other people in Shul will, so that's good enough. So therefore he can say it in Shacharis. But that's why we the Sibur only say it by Mincha, and that's why nobody says it by Ma'ariv, because by Ma'ariv there's nothing to say Shacharis. Is because we may not end up finishing the fast. What if we have to break the fast for some reason? Yeah. But again, not everybody agrees with that yet. Okay. Fine. Okay, but when... Yes, but even when you're fasting a personal fast, you still say B'yom Tzayim Ta'anisenu because that's the standard nosach, and it's your person is part of the community. So the Gemara tells us, Mar Ukva ikla le Ginzak. Mar Ukva, one time visited Ginzak. Ginzak is the name of a place nowadays in Iran. Bo'minei, and they asked him the following question. Mis'anin l'shoyis or ein mis'anin l'shoyis? Can you fast for hours? Can you do, like we were just discussing, a fast for part of the day? Is that considered a valid fast? Lo'y habav yada, he didn't know the answer. They also asked him, Kan kanin shol nachrib asurim amatorin, the barrels that goyim used to put wine in, are they also they absorb the wine and that's it? They're also to drink from, or there's no crap. If you want to go get some, then okay. So these kankanim of goyim, are you allowed to use them or not? They're made out of earthenware. They keep wine in them for a substantial amount of time. Is it considered? They absorb the wine, and wine, unlike if they were made out of wood, if they were made out of wood or metal or what have you, well, if they metal, you don't keep wine in, like we said the other day, but whatever, if they were made out of some other material, maybe they could be kashered. Earthenware can't be kashered, we know. So therefore, I asked him, are you allowed to use these barrels? And again, like Abba Yada, he didn't know the answer. And they asked him a third question. What kind of clothing did Moshe wear throughout the 7 inauguration days of the Mishkan? We know that Moshe was serving as a kohen during that time. He's training Aaron and his sons in what to do. He didn't wear the big dikahuna for pashtus, because you don't ever find that he was told to make big dikahuna for them, or for himself, or to dress himself in them, only Aaron and his sons. On the other hand, Rashi says it's not logical that he would have just, you know, walked in off the street in his regular daytime clothes and gone in and done the avodah, but pashtus, he needs to be wearing something special to serve in the Mishkan. What was it? And again, like Habibi Yadin, again, he didn't know the answer. What's it got to do? I saw a couple of interesting answers that actually. So Rashi actually points out over here, first of all, that the Gemara says over here Ma'ukva, and then Rashi says that's the correct Girsa. Rashi says there were Gemaras that had the Girsa, and actually the parallel Gemara in Avodah Zarah has this Girsa, that it wasn't Ma'ukva, but rather Rabbi Akiva that this happened to. Rashi himself says, I don't like that, for a couple of reasons. Among them, why would Rabbi Akiva not know the answers to these things? But I have seen a couple of explanations in Sfarim that suggest that it may have been Rabbi Akiva and explaining the connection of these three things together. One interesting one, I'm not sure if I remember all the details, but it went something like this. When you're Misana L'Shoyz, what does it mean? One definition of Misana L'Shoyz is you're fasting for a certain part of the day, and then another part of the day you're eating. Whether it means you eat in the morning and fast in the afternoon, or vice versa, or what it means exactly, we'll talk about soon in the Gemara, but it means, like, so to speak, you have a day which is supposed to be a holy day, it's supposed to be a fast, but some of it is not. Some of it is just like a regular mundane day and you're eating. So they're asking him, is such a thing appropriate? And he took that as a hint, like, you know, you, who, you know, till 40, you were a well-known Am HaAretz, and only then did you start learning Torah, you know, can a person be that way? Is it possible that a person, you know, lived their first 40 years, you know, lived a certain part of their life as a nothing and then became a great Talmud Chacham? So he couldn't answer because, you know, is it really appropriate for him to say such a thing about himself? And so they also asked him similarly about the Kankanim Shogoyim, some similar sort of idea, like you have, you know, this unclean earthenware, you know, and now you want to use it for, and I forget what the connection was, he says, with the clothes of Moshe Rabbeinu, but that's not really demeaning, but like they're asking him, like, you know, it's sort of, you know, can it really be such a thing?
They
didn't mean it necessarily to make fun of him, but you know.
Like, that he could see the, like, that kind of way of looking at the thing, they were just looking at purely from a
philosophy kind of way. Yeah. Anyway, also the Shal Bei Medrash. So he, as the case may be, went and asked in the Medrash, and they told him, the answers to all them are like this. Hilchasam is anin l'shoyz. The halacha is you can indeed fast for hours, for only a certain number of hours of the day. Number two, umispalant filas, and when you do, actually, this is all part of the first one, and when you do, you can say anenu. Number two, v'hilchsa kankanin shal nachrim la'achash ne'mas ha'chodesh mutarim, the barrels that were used for goyish wine, you're allowed to use them for kosher wine after 12 months, because after 12 months, any taste of yayin nesach in them is gone. Actually, the halacha is, besides leaving them for 12 months, you also have to fill, you also have to do, it's called milui v'iri. Every day you fill them up with water, you leave the water in there for 24 hours, and you spill it out. And you repeat that process 3 times. After that, the kankanim are able to be used.
So that's the case. How come we can bring some Benedictine? They never did that with Benedictine. It was
young Benedictine. There's different kinds of Benedictine, I think.
Benedictine is one thing that they have is a priest put all the...
Obviously, there is some kind of heter to it, because we know that it was drunk at Fabranians and whatnot. What exactly, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the process of how it's made. But, yeah, the issue there wasn't necessarily the barrels. And number three, you're asking what clothing did Moshe wear during the 7 days of inaugurating the Mishkan? B'choluk lavan, he wore a white long robe. So in other words, it was distinctive. It wasn't his regular street clothing, but it wasn't big dikahuna either. Rav Kahana masni b'choluk lavan shein le'imur. Rav Kahana says Rav Kahana's version of the story was that they answered him. It wasn't just any old white garment. It wasn't just any old white robe. It was a white robe that had no imra. Now, what is an imra? Rashi says a couple of different parts. Rashi says that shein le'imra means usually how do you make a robe? How do you make like a kapata or something? It's made out of a bunch of pieces sewn together. You have the body of it, and then you have the sleeves. They're sewn on separately. Here. It was all made out of one piece. It was all woven together as one piece. Why is that? Rashi says because otherwise he didn't want people to suspect that he spent extra money on it. That might have been money of Hektish. In Avodah Zarah, where this Gemara also appears, Rashi explains a little differently. Rashi explains there that Imra means a hem, and the point was he wanted to make sure nobody suspects him of hiding money from the Mishkan in the hem. Although Rashi says over there, I don't really like that, because by the time they were inaugurating the Mishkan, all the money had been collected months earlier. How would there be any money around for him to hide in the hem? But anyway, other than that, there's a couple of other possibilities that Mephoshim mentioned. One of them is that Imra means like the little tassels that they have for decoration on a palace or whatever. And here the point is, the robe didn't have those in order to demonstrate that it's only a temporary thing. So people should realize he's only serving as temporary Kohen Gadol for 7 days, and then that's it. Then he's, well, actually on the eighth day as well, he served together with Aaron and his sons, but then that's it. He's out of that job. And then a third explanation, I think the Ritva says, that the word Imra actually over here is really supposed to be Imra with an ayin, or Amra, whatever, with an ayin, which is the Aramaic word for wool. So to say, even though the Bigdei Kohona usually contained shatnez, here where it wasn't official Bigdei Kohona, it was pure linen, no wool. A few of the Mepharshim talk about, and the Rebbe once talked about, in a
clothing, they write the label for handsome women if it has wool.
Okay.
Then
it would be shatnez. Yeah. And a couple of Mepharshim talk about, and that everyone's talked about in a sikha, the deeper idea behind it, that Moshe represents the Aaron and his sons wear clothes made out of many different kinds of materials and sewn together from different pieces and so forth, because they represent the multiplicity of that there is in the world. It's all dedicated to Hashem, but there's the many different aspects of our world. Whereas Moshe represents the tachlis of pshitus, the simple or eliki that comes down to us, and therefore he wears a simple uncolored garment made out of one material and with no extra fringes or anything. Yes, also wore white clothes. Oh, I hear.
You know where they have.
Going back to Amar of Chisda.
Yassel.
Yasul. So this that you're saying that you can fast for a few hours and it's considered a valentine, that is only if you don't actually eat anything until the evening. What does that mean? In other words, for example, Tadashi says, let's say you have that a person let's say fasted from the morning until chatzos, and then he also doesn't end up eating until the evening. That's considered a tainus shoyis. What do you mean that's a tainus shoyis? A tainus malyasihi. I mean, that's a regular tainus. That's a full-fledged tainus. Of course, you can say aneinu on it and so forth. What would be the chiddush? The answer is, lotzucha de imloch imluchi. But the chiddush is, what if he changed his mind? What if, in other words, it wasn't that he intended to fast in the morning at all? He got busy with work or what have you and forgot to eat. And then it comes chatzos, and he says to himself, you know what? I didn't eat breakfast. You know, I haven't eaten anything until now. I may as well fast the whole rest of the day. That's considered a tainus shoyis because he didn't accept
when,
it.
When is it considered?
So it's considered. So at that point, that's what we're saying. In other words, Rav Chisda is saying it's considered the afternoon is considered a tainus shoyis, but it would only work if he doesn't eat until the evening. As opposed to, it seems that Rav Chisda would be saying, and then the next thing Rav Chisda is saying also seems to fit with that, that if it was the other way around, that if, for example, a person fasted in the morning and then ate in the afternoon, that wouldn't work.
Yeah. He fasted in the morning, and then in the afternoon decided to prolong his fast.
Then there's no question. It's a good fast. That's what we're saying.
It's a good fast.
It can't go retroactively.
From the time when he decided. Well, if he decided to fast in the morning, if he was actually doing the morning fast as a conscious thing, here we're talking about it wasn't necessarily a conscious thing. He forgot to eat in the morning, and now all of a sudden it comes chatzos. He says, you know what, I may as well consider the rest of the day a fast.
It can't go retroactively backwards.
That's what we're saying. But from now on, it's considered a fast. Yeah. Any tainus that the sun did not set on it, in other words, that he didn't fast until actually sunset, or Tetzik HaKavim rather, Lav Shmei tainus is not called a tainus. Now, Rashi says that that's what it means at face value. If a person were, for example, to fast in the morning and then actually eat and then decide, I'm only fasting until Chatzos and then I'm going to eat, that wouldn't even be considered a fast at all. You can't say anenu in the morning for it. You can't. It's not considered a fast for any purpose. Not all Rishonim agree with that. Many Rishonim quote from a Yerushalmi that says that a person can do that. A person can decide, I'm only going to fast a half a day, let's say until Chatzos, and then I'm going to be allowed to eat, and that's considered a valid fast. And some of them say that doesn't necessarily disagree with our Gemara over here. Rav Chista, maybe when he says lav shmei tainis, doesn't mean that it's not considered a fast for any purpose whatsoever. It means it's like you haven't had the full experience of a fast. But you still, you know, a fast is a fast. You still accomplish something. Back in the day, it used to happen a lot of times during the, I remember a number of times when I was growing up here in Crown Heights in the Mems that they would declare a half day fast because of Mir Yehudi or because of the security situation in Eretz Yisrael or different things like that, and there would be a half day fast. It would be the official thing was you were to fast until Chatzos, and then you can break your fast. And based on that Yerushalmi and based on those on those poskim, you're able to do that. The Alter Rebbe similarly talks about Negeres HaTshuva. The Alter Rebbe talks about in Negeres HaTshuva the concept of that it's appropriate to fast for certain averus that a person has done, where it talks about in Sifrei Kabbalah and in the Kitzvei HaRizal and the writings of the Talmidim about different numbers of fasts that a person is supposed to fast for different averus as a form of bringing a korban to Hashem, so to speak. So the Alter Rebbe talks about that it's appropriate for a person to go through a series of three of those sometime in their lifetime. If a person did an Aveda many, many times, then they should at least do three. They should do three of those of those series of fasts, and then redeem the rest with tzedakah. And one part the Alter Rebbe describes over there is part of the idea is based on that Yerushalmi, you can fast a half day fast, and it'll be considered a valid fast even though you're eating in the afternoon. And then you have two half days together, make a whole day, and then you gradually work the thing off over the years like that.
But also there's the idea of doing introspection and thinking for a study, which the Marvin Abraham goes with on the slot, I think. For the slot. Is something that our school mentioned on yesterday's talk.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's no question. Obviously, we're going to talk about at the end of today, we'll talk about that after the next Mishnah as well, what the schedule is supposed to be, what the schedule of activities is supposed to be on a fast day. Obviously, it's not just, you're not just fasting, you're not just denying yourself food and drink. There's more, there's positive things that have to be accomplished also. I've heard it said that in Yiddish, I'm not... conversant enough to know for sure, but I've heard it said that in Yiddish there are two words for it. There's fasting, which is a fast, and then there's davin, which is like to go on a diet. You want to make sure that your fasting is fasting and not just davin. Yeah. Think about this, Macy. You're telling me that if you fast only half a day, that it's not considered a fast, or it's not considered a full-fledged fast, whatever. We have later on in the Masechta, where in the next parak, when it talks about the fast for rain, that the people from that week's Mishmar, the Kohenim whose turn it is to serve that week in the Beis Mikdash, they fast, but they don't complete the fast. They break their fast in the middle of the day. So we see that even breaking your fast in the middle of the day is considered a valid fast. The answer is Hasan Watsauri Nafsha Ba'almahu. That's not their taken not fasting as a full fledged fast. It's true. Really they're putter from the fast because they're working in the Beis Mikdash. It's very hard work. The Chachamim are not matriach on them to fast together with the tzibur. But at least for appearances sake, basically they should be. Like we said yesterday, you have to join together with the tzibur. You can't separate from yourself from the tzibur. So at least to that extent, to be mitzvah themselves, they should be doing that. But it's true, they're not really doing it. It's not really considered a fast because they're breaking it in the middle. I mean, just to afflict themselves, like just to join themselves together with a tibur. But for example, they wouldn't say anenu if technically they could. It's not even we wouldn't say, for example, I have heard. It's not even we would say, for example, that let's say they have to fast until a certain time of day, and only then are they allowed to break it. No, theoretically they could break their fast in the morning if they felt they needed to.
No.
Because the whole reason they're doing it is just in order to join together with the tzibur. But for them, it's not really considered a fast at all.
No.
Well, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh. We're talking, yeah. Tashma, here's another proof. I am from the descendants of Snaav, the son of Snaav. It says over here, it's really supposed to be Snaav with a hey. The descendants of Binyamin. Oh, now, the pasuk in Nehemiah, which originally was part of Sefer Ezra, describes how when they later we're going to have later in the Masechta more detail about this, that when they came to build the second Beis Mikdash and get things running, one of the things they were lacking for the Mizbeach is wood, and of course they needed a large wood supply. So So various families among the Jewish people from that period, various clans and families, volunteered to enter a goyel that a date would be picked from then until the next person's date, till the next family's date. They would be supplying wood for the Beis Mikdash. And it became an annual thing. A particular family, for example, there was one family, Orach, the family of Orach, for example, that Rosh Chodesh Nissan was their designated day to bring wood. They're to bring wood that'll last for X number of months until the next day. The next family had the next couple of weeks, etc. Scattered throughout the year like that. Each one, the day that they were bringing wood was considered a yomtiv for them, because in general, the day that a person brings a korban is like a private yomtiv for them. So, one of these families was the family of Snah. And we have this Gemara before, maybe. Anyway, so he says, "Anim b'nei b'vanav shal Snah ben Binyamin. I'm from the descendants of Snah, from Shevet Binyamin. Upam achas chal Tishabav bias for Shabbos. One time it happened that Tishabav came out on Shabbos. Udchinu l'achar Shabbos. So it was pushed off till after Shabbos, as of course you do. You don't fast on Shabbos. V'hi aninu boi v'lo yishlam nuhu. Now we fasted on it. This was after the Churban, so we fasted on it." On the 10th of Av, but we did not complete the fast because it was our Yom Tov. Because when the Beis Mikdash was standing, Yud Av was the date when Bnei Snah brought wood for the Mizbeach. So Yud Av every year was their Yom Tov. So in a normal year, they would fast Tisha B'Av and then Yud Av would be their Yom Tov. This year, where Tisha B'Av was Nidcha, then they fasted because you have to fast for the fast of Tisha B'Av, but they didn't complete it because it's our Yom Tov. So therefore, again, you see, the pashtos, they it was still considered a fast, they still would have said anenu, etc. The answer is not necessarily. They also, you could say they were just doing it in order to afflict themselves, to join together with the tzibur, but maybe really it wasn't considered a fast for them. And actually, this kind of thing has relevance. The post can talk about the question, what if, for example, a person has a bris for his son on Tisha B'Av or something? Is it considered Yom Tov Shalahem? Maybe they can break the fast. There are poskim who say yes. There is a difference between this case, which is a fixed date every year, versus the bris, which is not. Lamaisa, what we do nowadays is the father, the sandik, and whatever have certain leniencies as far as halachas of the 9 days. For example, they're allowed to cut their hair, they're allowed to bathe, they're allowed to wear new clothes, etc. But as far as the suda, we make the suda must say the fast. We don't actually break the fast for the suda.
Even the
drinking the wine, right? Even the wine is given to a child rather than unless if there's nobody around. If there's nobody else around to drink the wine, then the moel himself drinks it. The last prayer,
but even the moel has fasting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't feel good,
then delegate the risk to somebody else. Toshma. Come, I'll bring you a different proof. What Rabbi Yochanan sometimes would say, sometimes he would say, I will fast until I get home. And we see it, he's calling it the tainus. The answer is that's not really a tainus. He was just doing that in order to evade the family of the Nasiim. The Nasi wanted him to eat by them. He's an important. He's the leader of that generation in the time. He's the head Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to invite him to eat by them. He didn't want to have to accept the invitation. So he would make the excuse that I'm fasting, but it wasn't a real fast. It's a line of Nedarka Shalom, but it's a sort of fast. But it's not considered a fast, for example, if he davened sometime between then and when he got home, he wouldn't be saying Anenu. And theoretically, he could eat any time he wanted. It wasn't a real neder. Amar Shmuel, another din, Shmuel says, Kol tainis shalai kibbal olav mebo'odiyoim lab shmei tainis. A fast that you did not accept on yourself from the day before is not considered a fast. So what happens if a person does fast without having accepted it ahead of time, then what is it? It's like a bag full of wind. Like a bellows full of wind. Like he's just full of wind. He's just like, you know, his stomach is empty, but he hasn't accomplished anything useful by it, because it wasn't considered a real fast. Again, are we talking about that you dafka have to accept it the day before, or are we talking about, again, when we're talking about a tainus shoyv, is it good enough according to the Rosh if you just accept it that morning, let's say, that you're planning to fast this afternoon? And the post can also talk about there are certain kinds of fasts you don't have to accept in advance. Obviously, the fixed ones, Shavuot, Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, etc., you obviously don't have to accept. But also, for example, we'll talk about on Amud Bey, the Tainus Cholam, where a person is fasting because of a bad dream. That you don't have to accept the day before, because you can't. You fast, you dreamt a bad dream that night, and the next morning you're fasting. So you don't have to accept, you don't have to pre-accept that one. There's a couple of others that you don't, one or two other kinds that you don't have to pre-accept. Amos Makabale, when do you accept the fast on yourself? Rav of Mincha. Rav says during the time of Mincha. Meaning it doesn't necessarily have to be during the tefillah of Mincha, but the period when Mincha is to be davened, and there's a machlokes whether we mean Mincha Gdol or Mincha Tana, but either way, he can just be walking in the street and decide, you know what, I'm going to be fasting tomorrow. He can just verbally declare at that point, you know what, I'm accepting the fast on myself. Or Shmuel Amar B'Tefillah of Mincha, where Shmuel says it actually has to be in the tefillah of Mincha. Now, why Dabke and Mincha? So Rashi says because it should be as close as possible to the fast. Mincha is the last statutory tefillah before the fast. Ma'ariv technically is Rishus, and theoretically the fast could even begin by night, as we'll talk about later. So Mincha is the last one before it. Yeah. Where in Mincha do you say it? By the way, Rashi talks about that you would say it in that you would say it when you're saying Tachnunim, when you're saying Elakainetzer. Tosfos says no, you should be saying it Shemei Tefillah. If it's on Shabbos, if you plan to fast on Sunday, and so you're accepting it the day before, which is Shabbos, then in Elakainetzer, because you don't say Shema Kaleinu on Shabbos. And that's indeed the halacha. You should say it in Shema Kaleinu when possible. If you've forgotten Shema Kaleinu, or if it's Shabbos and you're not saying Shema Kaleinu, then you do it in Elakainetzer.
Sure.
No, I mean, it's not, we'll learn later in the Masechta, it's not necessarily a good idea to fast on Sunday because you're going right away from the delights of Shabbos to a fast. It may not be the healthiest thing, but still, if a person is going to, they're going to, you know. Oh, another kind of fast a person doesn't have to accept on themselves ahead of time, come to think of it, is a more common one nowadays. The fast is a chatan and kalas fast. You fast on the day of your wedding. You don't have to accept that ahead of time. Well, you don't get married on Shabbos either.
People get married on Shabbos.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there's sometimes when you don't have to fast, period. There's other times when you don't fast that day, but you still have to make up the fast another day. Yeah. There are times. I'm not sure which ones are which. I got married on Shushan Purim Katan, and I was asking around whether because usually you don't fast Shushan Purim Katan, and I was told that Hirshel Gansberg got married on that date in Tafshin Yud Aleph, and they never told him to fast. So apparently,
before
Yud Vesivan, I don't know. Anyway, Omer Rav Yosef, Kavasei de Shmuel Mestavra. So Rav Yosef says what Shmuel is saying seems to be more logical, that you have to actually have to accept it in the tefillah of Mincha.
Rather than
just at the time of Mincha, rather than just sometime during the afternoon. Dichtiv b'Megillas Tainis, because it says in Megillas Tainis like this. Now Megillas Tainis, we talk about it in Rosh Hashanah, we're going to talk about it further again in Or Masechta. Megillas Tainis is a list of 30-odd days, mostly from the time of the Second Beis Hamikdash, when various nisim and great things happened to the Jewish people, which they celebrated. Some of them, all of them, they said, you know, I'll have a fast on. Some of them, they said, you're also not allowed to make a spadim on. And so it goes through the whole list. And then at the end it says, Lohain, except, kol inish t'yaisi aloi mikadmas dana, any person who has a fast that's incumbent on him from beforehand. For example, let's say a person had accepted on himself, I'm going to fast a series of 10 fasts, not in a row, obviously, but let's say, for example, I'm going to fast in a row 10 Mondays and Thursdays. And it happens. One of those days comes out on one of the days from Megillas Tainis. It says, Yesar. Yesar, now, my love, Yesar Atzmai B'Tzloi. Now, presumably, the word Yesar, we assume, means that Rashi says Yesar is the lashon of Asur Yesar. It means he has to actually make a neder and b'tzloi in davening. So that would imply then that he actually has to say it in davening. He actually has to say in davening, Ribbono Shel Olam, Harei Ani Lefanecha, B'tainis Machar, as a little tainis yachid machar. No, in other words, in order for it to be considered a fast, that we would say, when would we say that his fast can override a Yom Tov and Megillas Tainis if he accepted it with a neder beforehand in davening? That would be the assumption. That's what we would assume Megillah's Tainus means. The answer is like, you also asked me. No, not necessarily. The word might not be yesar, which means to promise, but rather ye also, that he is forbidden, that he forbade himself. Meaning it doesn't even have to be that he actually declared it in davening, I'm going to fast. It may mean that he decided ahead of time, I'm going to be fasting, let's say, a series of 10 fasts. So even without formally accepting on himself in mincha, maybe already Megillah's Tainus is saying that already overrides Megillah's Tainus. I forgot to mention before, by the way, when we were talking about before, when we had the case of a person who fasted one day and then didn't break his fast that night and continued fasting the next day, the Rif has a different gears over there. The Rif and many other Rishonim have a different gears over there, that the situation is basically that the person did break his fast that night, and then he fasted, but if the person to begin with accepted decided on himself ahead of time, I'm going to fast two fasts. And then he broke his fast in the night between them, which he can do. So we were discussing, is the second one considered a separate fast of his own, or does he have to accept it individually for each one? That's relevant.
One after the other?
No, 2 days after the other, but the night in between he can eat. But in other words, is one Kabbalah good enough for both of them, or does he have to do a different Kabbalah for each one? So here also, when we're talking about, for example, the declaring a series of 10 or 20 fasts, it would be also, does he have to declare each one in Mincha ahead of time? So the Gemara points out, as far as this possibility, whether the word is yesar, which means to promise, or ye oser, that he is already oser. Pligi b'har Rav Chiya v'Rav Shimon b'Rebbe. So Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon b'Rebbe argue about this very point. What is the correct wording in Megillah Tainus? Chadam of yesar v'chadam of yoser. One says he has to promise for it to be a valid fast. The other one is he is oser. If he has this predetermined fast, even though he didn't actually declare it in davening, that he would be that he would have to keep it, even though it's on a day of Megillah Tainus. Manda Amar Yosef Kedamrinan. So the one who says the Manda Amar Yisau Kedamrinan. The one who says that we don't know which one, Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon Rebbe says which, but the one who says that the correct word is Yisau is Kedamrinan. It's like we said, in order for it to be a valid fast, you have to declare it in Mincha the day before. So therefore, if you have, for example, let's say, to give an example, today, this day that's just ending now, Chaf Hei Sivan, is one of the days of Megillah Tainus. If a person had planned to be fasting on this day in order for it to override the Yom Tov of Megillah Tainus, he would have had to say in Mincha yesterday, I'm accepting a fast on myself. If he didn't, then it's not important enough to overrule. Then Megillah Tainus still takes precedence, and you can't fast. Incidentally, the halacha is, again, we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, we talk about in Rosh Hashanah, the halacha is, for most purposes, batel Megillah Tainus. Most of the Yom Tov and Megillah Tainus are batel. You're allowed to fast, you're allowed to do a spedim on them, except for Chanukah and Purim, and also except for Rosh Chodesh.
Megillah Tainus was,
which period was it? It was during the time of the second Beit Hamikdash, a little bit after. 9:15. So therefore, Tosfos says that indeed you're not allowed to nowadays. You're not allowed to fast on Chanukah and on Purim and on Rosh Chodesh. But all the other dates that are listed in Megillah Tainus, you are including, for example, today Chaf Hei Sivan, you are allowed to. So that's according to the opinion yesar, then that's what it means. In order for it to be a valid fast, we should say you're allowed to fast, even though Megillah Tainus normally says you shouldn't fast on this day. Would only be if you declared it in Mincha. Lamanda Omer Ye Oser Ma'hi. What about according to the opinion that says Ye Oser, you're automatically Oser? Then what is it? Then it means the Tanya be Megillah Tainus, because we learn in Megillah Tainus, a kol inish de yaisi aloi mekadmas dina, any person who has a fast already incumbent on him from beforehand, ye also will be also, in other words, even without a formal declaration. Kesan, what would that mean? Yachet shekibol olav sheni v'chamishi v'sheni shekol ashan kula. What if, for example, a person accepted on himself to fast on Mondays and Thursdays throughout the year? The irubom yam tayo maktub Megillah Tainus, and one of those days happens to fall on a day from Megillah Tainus. So it depends. In Yidrei Kodim L'Gzeira Seinu, if his Nedir comes before our Gzeira, before the Chachamim made the Gzeira on that Yom Tov, Yavdil Nidrei L'Gzeira Seinu, then his Nedir comes first. So, you know, there came a certain period in history, for example, when they declared, let's say, Chaf Hei Sivan to be a Yom Tov. If the person, earlier than that, before that event ever happened, as the Zaharashi explains it, declared that I'm going to fast Mondays and Thursdays the whole year, and then it came out on Monday, like it did this year, then fine, then his Nedir goes ahead. But if our Gzeira came ahead of his neder, Then our gzera overrides his neder because he didn't actually declare it in mincha. Rabbeinu Gershom has a different explanation that gzera senu means when Beis Din declared the new month. You could have, let's say, for example, again, one of the dates in the Megillas Tainis, let's say, is Chofei Sivan. Now, if a person, you know, in Iyar time, let's say, a person doesn't know yet whether Iyar is going to be 29 or 30 days, so he doesn't know, is Chofei Sivan going to be on Monday or is it going to be on Tuesday? So therefore, he can declare for himself, I'm going to fast, let's say, Mondays and Thursdays throughout Sivan, and if it happens that the month came out to be 29 days, and now Chofei Sivan is on Monday, fine, he can fast on it because he didn't know yet. But if only after Rosh Chodesh Sivan he makes this neder, then we say to him, tough luck. We wanted to fast Monday and Thursday, but you already knew that one of those Mondays and Thursdays is going to be Chofei Sivan, you can't. Yeah.
In other words, it has to be in certainty.
Yeah. Turn it up, that's according to Rabbi Negoshim's explanation here. Turn it up on him, we learn in a braisa. Ad masa echo b'shoi, so up until when can a person eat and drink before fast? Ad shiyala omen ha-shachar until dawn. Divei Rebbe. Rabbi Loza b'Rabbi Shimon Oimer. Ad kreis ha-geber, until the rooster crows. So Abaya says, this is only talking about this that we're saying, that you're allowed to continue eating all night until dawn or until the rooster crows, is only if you didn't finish your meal. But if you finished your meal before the fast, then that's it. Then everybody would agree you can't eat anymore. So Rava asks on him, what do you mean? Bryce says, if a person finished his meal and stood up, even though he benched already and he left the table, he can still eat. The answer is Hasan Kshalay Silik. Fine, but that's talking about he did get up from the table, but he didn't remove the table itself. We learned in Pesachim that in those times they used to eat on these small tables that would be removed from in front of the person. So if the table wasn't removed, then he still didn't have Hesach Hadas. Okay, he got up, but he can still sit back down at the same table and continue eating.
I was disappointed for us.
Wait, well, the halacha is not like this yet. Wait. Ikadamri, others say, Amar Rava, Loishano Elekshalay Yoshin. According to the second version, Rava says, when are we saying that you can go back to eating is if you didn't sleep. But if you slept, that's already considered a hafsaka, and you can't go back to eating. One second. I'll tell you what Tosfos says on it in a minute. So now, according to this version, it's Abaya asked on him. Abaya says, Yoshin va'omad hareza oichol. If you slept and then you got up again, you can still eat. The answer is Hasan b'misnamnim. That's talking about he wasn't actually asleep. He was just dozing. He was half asleep. And what's the definition of misnamnim? Amar Rav Ashi, nim v'loy nim, tir v'loy tir. He's asleep but not fully asleep. He's awake but not fully awake. The Gemara is going to define it. Dekaru le va'ani, if you call his name, he'll answer, so he's not completely asleep. V'lo yoda aduri svara, but he's not able to answer something that he needs to think about. If you ask him something that you need to think about, he won't be able to because he's still half asleep. But if they're reminding him of something midkar, then he'll remember it. So, for example, Mufarshim give an example. Let's say you ask, you know, if you were to ask a person in this state, where did you put such and such? He won't be able to think of it. But if they ask him, did you put it on this and this shelf? Yeah, I did. That's considered misnamnim. So like half and half. So then he's still able to go back to eat. But if he completely fell asleep, then not. Now Tosfos says. Tosfos says that what you can do is, Tosfos quotes from a Yerushalmi, and this is a halacha, that if you made a tnai before you went to sleep, then you are allowed to eat until Alos HaShachar. And that indeed is a halacha. So when it comes to, for example, Shivasa B'Tamuz, if you finish your meal, we're saying you're still allowed to go back to eat. The halacha is like the second version over here, that's only sleep that makes the break. But if you went to sleep and then you wake up in the middle of the night,
you're to eat further.
So if you made it tonight, then you're allowed to wait. You're allowed to wake up in the middle of the night, anytime before Alos HaShachar, and eat. Yeah. One thing is also says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't need such tonight in order to drink. Drinking, there's no kriyas to. So drinking, you're allowed to drink even if you didn't make it tonight before you went to sleep.
You have to be awake, make
tonight.
Yeah, or you could be in between.
No, you're not going to be able to make such tonight when you're half asleep. I don't think. Yeah, Pashtas before. If you could, I guess you could. You know, we're saying that. Yeah. Another din, Amr of Kahana Amar Rav. Yes, and that's halacha. That's halacha. Yeah. Amr of Kahana Amar Rav, Yochid Shekibul Olav Tainis. If an individual accepted a fast on himself and he didn't specify what kind of tainis it is, there's a tainis Yochid and there's a tainis Tzibur. Also, Bnei Ilas Sandal, he's not allowed to wear shoes. He's not allowed to wear leather shoes. Chai Shinin, Shem a tainis Tzibur, Kibul Olav, which we have to be concerned, he might have accepted on himself a tainis Tzibur type of thing, which, as the next Mishnah is going to say, there's a type of tainis Tzibur. where Tisha B'Av, where you can't wear shoes. And similarly, all the other things. He wouldn't be able to bathe. He wouldn't be able to...
Such as what? Accepting on himself something.
Yeah, he might have accepted on himself something, like a tiny sibber. So, Hechilevet, how should a person do? What should a person do when he's accepting the fact to avoid that issue? Amar Rav Bar Rav Shila, Lema Hachi, the person should say, when he's saying his declaration, he should say, L'machar Ehele Panecha V'tainis Yachid. He should say, tomorrow I will be before you in an individual fast. So then he's making it clear that it has a din of Tainis Yachid, where he's allowed to wear shoes and he's allowed to bathe, etc. If he doesn't do it as a Tainis Sam, then there might be a problem. However, we'll talk about soon, when we talk about Tisha B'Av, that there may not be such an issue about it. There's different posts can say. In some Siddurim you can find, in Shemak Eleinu or in Elokei Netzer, a formula that you're supposed to say before accepting a fast on yourself, and the formula goes, they do mention V'tainis Yachid, Harein Fanecha, V'tainis Yachid, Macho, Yehirotzim Fanecha, that you should accept my tefillos on the day I'm fasting. Incidentally, by the way, we know that of the four fasts, we know that there are four fasts during the year, which are the more lenient kind, Shavuot Tamuz and Asara B'Tevis and Tainis Esther, where you're allowed to bathe, you're allowed to wear shoes and so forth. But the truth is, it's not so simple. One of the Mefarat, I think it's either the Bach or the Magen Avraham, I don't remember, says that really, properly speaking, a person should be machmer on those things.
So shoes,
I'm not so sure about if they say in practice to be machmer, because shoes is a very noticeable thing. It's a very obtrusive thing. But like, for example, a Baal Nefesh says that they should be careful not to bathe and the other things on those days, even though technically you're allowed to.
Many times a question.
Right. That's the answer, basically.
And the halacha?
So the technical halacha is you are allowed to bathe, you are allowed to anoint yourself, you are allowed to wear shoes and so forth. But a baal nefesh should be machmer on at least some of these things. Yeah, not necessarily on the shoes again, because that you don't want to also be a show off. You don't want to be a matter of yura, but the other things, yeah. Amr laid up on the Rav Sheshes. So the Rabbanan one time said to Rav Sheshes, "Hokachazin Rabbanan de Mitzayim Amanai Huva Asi Lebeit Hanesa." Don't we see that the rabbis put on their shoes and then they come to shul for the fast day? It's on a tiny sibur. There was a fast that they declared, whether because of rain or because of other tzaras that they were having, and they wear shoes. Means, in other words, it must not be a problem to wear shoes even on a tiny sibur. Which actually we learned yesterday, and then we're going to have soon again quoted the idea that Shmuel says that in Bavel there's no such thing as a tiny sibur that has the full fledged status of a tiny sibur except for Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, obviously. So if they held like that, then therefore they said we are allowed to wear shoes even on a tiny that's being held by the sibur because of rain or what have you, we're still allowed to wear shoes. Because that's what we'll talk about soon again. Why in tiny sibur Bavel? No, they're right. Ikvad. However, Rav Sheshes was annoyed by that. But Amalahu, when he says to these people who told him that, "Domo mechel nami achol," what? Maybe they ate also. Meaning, did they eat? Did they eat? Now he doesn't think they ate by day, but maybe they ate by night also. Even though by the time of sibur you're not supposed to. In other words, he's saying, I don't agree with what Shmuel's saying. I hold that a tiny sibur in Babel has a full-fledged status of a tiny sibur. That, as the next missioner is going to say, you have to, once it comes in the second series of fasts for rain, you actually have to stop eating before nightfall. They should be doing that. They should also not be wearing shoes. Some other examples. Abaye v'Ravam. Well, we'll get to soon. We'll get to what Shmuel says. Abaye v'Rava Ma'ili, Abaye and Rava would come in to the shul for the fast day. Kimasaimi apanta. They would be wearing apanta. Now, what are apanta? Rashi defines them as shoes that don't have a top part. They just have basically a sole and some straps to hold them in place. And Tosis explains the other way around, that they have an upper part but they don't have soles.
Definitely.
So either way, it was some kind of shoe, but it wasn't like a full-fledged shoe. So they sort of split the difference.
Soul.
Yeah. So they sort of swallowed the difference.
Like the soul must have been like strings.
I don't know. Another example, Maremo Mazutra Machlafidi Mina Basmolo de Smolali Mina. Maremo and Mazutra on a fast day would wear their shoes, but they would switch around the right and left shoes. Maybe, but in this case they felt that you have to do it. And actually, in Shulchan Aruch it talks about that. Let's say, for example, you have a person on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av who has to wear shoes. Let's say he's going among the Goyim or he's going someplace where it's dangerous to not wear shoes and so forth. If you have to wear leather shoes in those circumstances, you do. But ideally, you should switch them around then. So at least you're not wearing them in the normal way.
Left to right.
Yeah, right, left to right and right to left, yeah. However, Rabbanan Dvei Rav Ashi Nafki Kiur Chayu, the rabbis of the yeshiva of Rav Ashi went out wearing shoes like normal, because Savri, Kehodam, Shmuel, they held like what Shmuel says, Ein Tainis Sibur B'Bavel Ala Tisha B'Av B'Vad. The only thing that has a status of a Tainis Sibur and B'Bavel is Tisha B'Av. Now, why is that? We talked about yesterday a few different reasons that Mephoshim give. One of them is because Bavel doesn't really need rain so much. We talked about the other day. So therefore, they don't really have a need for fast for rain. Another reason is because they don't have a Sanhedrin over there. So they don't have an official body that can declare a tiny sibber.
They have water
there. They have rivers and canals and whatnot. Yeah. Another din. A person can borrow his fast and pay it back. Meaning, you have, for example, a person who planned to fast on a certain day. He's allowed to now, because of circumstances, which we'll talk about soon, he's allowed to instead say, you know what, I'll eat now, I'll make up the fast another day instead. So what Rabbi Yehuda says, when I told over this din to Shmuel, Amali, so he says, why? Did he accept the neder on himself, the Lay Sagi, the Lay Mishalim, that he has to, willy-nilly, he has to fast the full 12 hours no matter what? In this case, he accepted on himself that he wants to afflict himself. So, meaning on the contrary, he must be mitzayr nafshi, he must be mitzayr nafshi. So if he's able to, let him continue. If he's not able to, then he's not. You can't expect him to do. In other words, what good is it going to do? If the idea is he's having to break off his fast, let's say, because he can't hack it anymore, what good is it going to do to pay back the fast on another day? He did what he could. He fasted as much as he could, and that's it. You can't expect him to do more than that.
That's very easy.
Basically. However, the second version, Ikeda Amri, Amr of Yehuda Amar Rav, Loiz Va'adam Tanitio Perea, that in the second version of Yehuda again said in the name of Rav that a person can borrow his tainus and pay it back on another day. And in this version, Ki Amrita Kamei Shmuel, when I told over this din to Shmuel, Amali says to me, on the contrary, Pshita, obviously, Lo Yehei Ela Noida Neder. How is it different than any other kind of Neder? Neder Mile Mati Boy Lashalumi Umeza Lamacher. Or with any neder. You don't have to do a neder the very next day that you said. You can do it another day. So the same thing, obviously, over here you should be able to. Now, what kind of circumstances are we talking about that you can do this? First of all, Mephoshim point out there is a difference between, the post can point out, there is a difference between if a person just said generically, I'm going to fast, versus if he said, I'm going to fast on this and this date. If he does, then he can't borrow it for another day, because he promised he was going to fast on this and this date. Second of all, what kind of circumstances are we talking about? Besides that the Gemara had been saying that the person is not able to, the Rambam writes that a valid reason for it would be, for example, for the Sudas Mitzvah. Or which he didn't know at the time he was going to say, right. Or an important person is inviting him for a meal and he can't really get out of it. But not just that, like.
So what does he have to do?
So that's what he would do. He would borrow his fast. He would say, in other words, forget it. I'm giving up the fast for today, and I'll make up for it another day.
He said it to himself, which is kind of too easy.
So that's a different argument among the poskim, whether it's good enough for him to just say it to himself, or whether he actually has to be matir neder, and in order to be able to move it to another day. Yeah. Different opinion. So the Gemara tells a case in that connection. Rav Yeshua Breder of Idi Ikvul Beir Rav Asi. Rav Yeshua Breder of Idi one time visited the house of Rav Asi. Obdala Egla Tilsa, and they prepared for him an Egla Tilsa. Egla Tilsa means a third calf in various places. So we talked about that before, but it means a very high quality calf. In different places, Rashi explains either that it means that it was third born, which is the highest quality, or 3 years in its third year. Or that's one third of its growth. Yeah, whatever it is. Anyway, but it was very high quality. Amalei litem ma'amidi, and they told him, would you like to taste something? Amalei tanizi yisiv, and he says, I can't, I'm fasting. Amalei, so they said to him, what's the problem? Amalei zit ma'avir litra. Can't you borrow your fast now and pay it back another day? Don't you hold of what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that you're allowed to borrow your fast and pay it another day? He tells them this is different. This is a fast for a bad dream. That Rav Bamachseya says in the name of Chama Baguria, in the name of Rav, that a fast is good for a bad dream, like fire is effective against flax waste. And the oiras is like the stuff you comb out of flax. It's very flammable. Fire burns it very quickly. The same thing Marsha explains when in Shabbos, where we have this Gemara, that a fast is very effective for getting rid of the bad aspect of a dream. So if a person had a dream that worried him, he has to fast for it. And the Omer of Chisda Ubay Bayim, that only works if you fast on that very same day. One reason Mepharshim say is because it's human nature that the day after it, right away, you feel all fired up and everything. But afterwards, you know, big deal. So, you know, in order for the fast to have its effect, in order for that to actually feed, you have to do it right away. The Omer of Yosef, I feel the Shabbos, and Rav Yosef said that that's true even on Shabbos. If you have a bad dream Friday night, you can still fast tainus kolam on Shabbos. Why? Because even though you're supposed to eat on Shabbos, normally you're supposed to do oneg Shabbos, but here where a person is worried about his dream, and we're saying the fast is most effective on that day, that will be his oneg Shabbos. His oneg Shabbos will be the fasting.
When we stay on Yom Tov, you know, forgiven to all the
That's not forgive us. That's we're asking Hashem to make all our chalomis good.
To make our chalomis good.
Yes.
Does that void the need for fasting in case...
We'll talk about fasting for a cholam. We'll talk about what the din is nowadays in a second. But let's just finish up the Gemara. So the Gemara, my takante, okay, but how do you fix it up? After all, you're fasting on Shabbos. You're not supposed to do that. You should fast another tainis to make up for the fact that he fasted on Shabbos. So he's going to be fasting too now. He'll be fasting on Shabbos itself, and then he'll be fasting on another day. And before we should discuss, does it have to be on Sunday, Dabka, or can it be another day? To make up for the fact that after all, he didn't respect Shabbos by eating on it. Now, these halachas about a tainis cholam and about and even on Shabbos are brought in Shulchan Aruch. However, there are many poskim and there are many achronim who say that nowadays the whole concept of a tainis cholam doesn't really exist. For one thing, they say it was different in those times. People had dreams that actually signified something. Nowadays, our dreams are basically a lot of nonsense. A person dreams about, for the most part, a person, even the Gemara in Bracha says that generally speaking, a person just dreams about what they were thinking by day. Nowadays, we're not on such a high level that our dreams necessarily signify anything. But besides that, also in general, there's a trend over the last couple hundred years. We see it already. We see it a lot in the Geras HaTshuva from the Alfeb. We see it in the writings already from the time of the Baal Shem Tov that fasting is not such a good, you know, Tisira Chamor Sarnacha, the famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, that instead of fighting with your body and then trying to subjugate it and fast and whatever, better you should be doing positive things to use your body for Avodas Hashem rather than afflicting it. So there is a concept.
There was that too, right?
So there is the idea that nowadays there's really not this kind of thing of a tainus kolam anymore. Maybe for rare individual people, but not for the general run of people.
Low.
Basically. Well, on the one hand, we're too low, but on the other hand, we're closer to the times of Mashiach. We're closer to the times when we'll see the advantage of the goof over the neshama. And therefore, we're in a time where it's not appropriate anymore to be afflicting our goof. Rather, we should be working with the goof to bring it to a higher level, to elevate it. Yeah. We'll leave the Mishnah for tomorrow.